Let's turn again to those familiar words that we've had for the last 8 weeks in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26. We will be looking at another passage in Thessalonians later on, but for the moment we'll read those verses, verses 22 to 26 of Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live for the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. I do have problems with the English language. I wasn't very good at school, and trying to define exactly what words are, for me sometimes they're a problem. I've got the same problem with my taste. I feel that a lot of things taste the same, and I know when Maureen puts the dinner before me, and it's often breaded fish or breaded chicken, and I take a few mouthfuls and I say to her, "Is this fish or is this chicken?" And I look at her and you see her eyes roll, all right? And she says, "Can you see that jar on the middle of the table? Does it say tartar sauce? Does that give you an indication as to what you're eating?" You know, a lot of the words that we've been considering, they're very much the same, but they have each a definite meaning. You'll see as we go along. We've reached number 8, gentleness. And I've found it difficult to establish exactly what is the 8th fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 23. For those of us that have got the NIV, I just read them, and that gentleness is number 8. Now, if you are using the King James Version, you will note we have already covered gentleness as fruit number 5 in the Authorised Version. And the Authorised Version goes like this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Most commentaries and well-known preachers who use the Authorised Version agree that kindness in the NIV is a better translation for fruit number 5, gentleness, in the Authorised Version. Hence, when Gordon preached a few weeks ago on fruit number 5, he concentrated on the kindness of David to Mephibosheth. However, in the Authorised Version, fruit number 8 is mentioned as meekness, and in the NIV as gentleness. Are you confused? Well, I was. I looked up meekness in our definitive English dictionary, and it said meekness is an obsolete word for gentleness. And just to establish that in my own mind, I consulted W.E. Vine. And he confirms that this is the Greek word, proutes, or meekness, is not readily expressed in English. He suggests that meekness describes rather the condition of mind and heart, and gentleness is appropriate to actions. So there you have it. People who are meek on the inside are gentle on the outside. Gentleness is meekness being worked out. Billy Graham's definition of gentleness is mildness in dealing with others. Now, I hope that helps to clarify the situation. We are dealing with gentleness, number 8, as in the NIV. So what is gentleness? Well, it's meekness, mildness, lowliness, kindness, tenderness, softness, sweetness, and compassion. And just like my taste, which is not that subtle, these words do have a different meaning. Now, I've never heard anyone preach on gentleness or even the gentleness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, I think we will all agree that gentleness is central to the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first prayer my mother ever taught me, and I think the only prayer that she ever taught me, was this: gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Do you ever remember saying that prayer? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. When Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church, he appealed to them by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. If we were to look in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." And Zechariah prophesied about Jesus and his entry in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And he records, "See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey." So gentleness throbs in the heart of our Lord Jesus. And you know, gentleness should pervade the Christian's personality and the Christian's activities. I'm just going to give you a few examples of gentleness in the scriptures. Paul, in his love letter to the Philippian believers, says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Peter, talking about wives, please note, he says, "Your beauty should not be about your makeup and what you look like on the outside. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit." So when you wake up in the morning, husbands, and you see your wife putting on her face, just, you know, say, "Well, dear, you, it's not what you do on the outside, it's what's in the inside." And Peter goes on to say, "Which is of great worth in God's sight." Paul to the Colossians says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion." Here we have all these words, which they do have their own meaning, but we're linking them all together. "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." So gentleness should be evident both in our speech and in our actions. Peter says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Paul tells Timothy that elders are not to be given to drunkenness, not violence, but they are to be gentle. So how does all this work out in our lives? You know, I thought hard and long about this. And I think gentleness, or the lack of gentleness, is no more demonstrated than in the medical profession. Now, I know we have in our congregation this evening nurses, dental hygienists, and those listening to you on the World Wide Web, can I say that these are my own observations? And I do apologise if I might sort of just rub up any on the wrong way. If you've got any problems, just email Gordon Curley. You know, I mean, we've all been to hospital, and we all know what it's like to have a plaster removed gently or not so gently. We all know what it's like to have blood taken. Sometimes that can be a painful process. Sometimes it can be very gentle. But you know, I've struggled, and I hope Naomi's not listening, with dental hygienists. I mean, I fear dentists, but I fear the hygienist more than anything. And you know, this came to a head one day when I went to see my dental hygienist. I thought, I'm not going to go through all this agony. So I said to her, would it be possible for you to give me an injection in order to do your hygienist work? Of course, she looked at me and then suddenly realised that I didn't think that she was so gentle. I mentioned it to my dentist. He said, no problem. He says, you can have the dental hygienist of your choice. And so since then, Debbie has been a very gentle and compassionate hygienist. I remember having an operation at the end of the operation. After two or three days, a whacking great big lump came up like the size of a cricket ball. And they said, oh, it's not uncommon, it's a hematoma. It's congealed blood. If you come in, we'll see what we can do about it. So I went in and the consultant said, we're going to attempt to syringe it off. And when I saw the size of the syringe, the nurse looked at me and she said, do you want me to hold your hand? And I said, oh yes, please. You see, to me, that demonstrated gentleness. Yes, she was kind. Yes, she was compassionate. But she was gentle. And it was demonstrated in her actions. And you know, that's what the fruit of the Spirit can produce in our lives. So much better to have gentle words said to us. So much better to have gentle actions given to us. I want to read some verses from 1 Thessalonians, and perhaps you can turn with me. And I think these verses encapsulate what gentleness is all about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 6 to 12. And we're talking about gentleness. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each other, with each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. You know, verse 12 in that reading sums up what the work of preachers, teachers, pastors, and ministers is all about. It says, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Paul says in verse 11, we dealt with you as a father deals with his own children. And in verse 7, but we were gentle with you like a mother caring for her little children. Two distinct roles, the encouragement of a father and the caring of a mother. They are each physically, spiritually, and by nature suited to those roles when a man and wife come together in marriage. And I know that's very relevant today in the news, etc. But each one, the husband and the wife, the male and the female, bring their own style to bringing up children. I've noticed with Billy away now, if he's got problems, if his bike is stolen or he's finding the work hard, then he'll speak to me. If he's not sure what shirt to wear or what to do with his hair, he'll speak to his mother. Like a mother caring for her little children. My granddaughter came over yesterday. She's about 14 months old, just beginning to crawl up and to begin to walk. And it's interesting to note how women change when they have children. Here was Amanda with this little child. She comes into our lounge, and I thought to myself, she's doing a risk assessment of our lounge. She made sure that the big fire guard was against the fire. The coffee table with its points and all the rest of it, she moved that back. She put cushions around it. She got a big sleeping bag and laid it on the floor. And then she put Amy down. Every little move that Amy might, her eyes were following around. Oh, Amy, don't get close to there. Oh, you can't do that. Grandpa, what are you doing? It was the gentleness of a mother. And I think that really does encapsulate what gentleness is all about. That caring feeling, that caring attribute that only a mother can bring. I wonder, how are we getting on with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Up to now, we've had 8 of them. Are you satisfied with the quality? Are you satisfied with the quantity? Is there anything we can do to affect the harvest of the fruit? What fruit do folk around us taste when they bite into our lives? You know, a tree is never conscious of the fruit that it produces. Well, I'm not aware that it is. But the people who see it, the people who taste it, are really aware as to what that tree is about. And it's the same with us. We might not be conscious that we are producing the fruit of the Spirit, but we are in some shape or form. Galatians 5 verse 24 tells us we need to get back to the cross. Back to the cross. Everything is answered by the cross. Steve King said the other week when he was preaching, making Jesus Lord changes everything. And that's right. When he becomes Lord of each avenue of our life, then the Holy Spirit is able to produce quality fruit in our life. What are we to do? Well, those verses tell us to crucify the sinful nature with its passion and desires, and to keep in step with the Spirit. You see, we all have the Holy Spirit. Even the weakest Christian amongst us has the Holy Spirit. So we are all producing fruit. Now, I've planted many fruit trees in my time. Some have produced good fruit. Some I go back and I look You know, it's all sort of maggoty, it's small, it doesn't taste right, but it's produced fruit. In order for trees to produce fruit, it's a struggle. First, they need the right position and the right soil. They need to be facing in the right direction. They need to have their roots in the right soil. And that speaks volumes to us. You know, are we feeding from the Lord? Are we looking in the right direction? In order for a tree to produce fruit, it needs protection. If you're to read the manuals on how to spray and when to spray with apple trees, you'll give up, like me. This time of year, we're supposed to be giving a winter tire wash to the tree. And then we're supposed to get a grease band and put rain the trunk of the tree to stop the bugs and all the rest of it climbing up. And then in February, March time, as the buds begin to break, we're to spray again. And then as the flower and the leaves appear, we're to spray again. And then as the fruit comes, we're to spray again. And if we don't do that, we don't get good fruit. Again, that speaks volumes to us in our lives. Are we careful with what we say, what we do? We all have the Holy Spirit. The problem is, we stop somehow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not got all of us. I don't know whether you've ever prayed that prayer, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I've tried praying it. Nothing really has happened. Because we have the Holy Spirit. But the trouble is, there's more of us than there is of the Holy Spirit. And the problem is, those things in our life which quench the Holy Spirit need to be taken out so that the Holy Spirit can have more of us. Ephesians says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's important where the tree is planted. It's important what protection we give that tree. And it's important that the tree is pruned right. Three rules for pruning trees, for those of you who are gardeners. You prune for disease. If anything's dead in the tree, you cut it out, regardless of whether you thought fruit came from it. You cut disease out. If there's anything stopping the light, you cut it out. Thirdly, you prune for shape. The tree needs to look good. And again, there are lessons from that. So as we conclude our study on the eighth fruit, gentleness, is our lives exhibiting gentleness? Have we a problem in producing fruit? Well, the Lord Jesus, gentleness was central to his character. And that's who we're going to remember in just a few moments. He came to this earth in humility, in compassion. It's interesting to know, I read this week in the paper that nurses are actually going to be judged on compassion. I thought that was tremendous. On gentleness. It's a challenge to each of us. Let's conclude.